If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. House Speaker John Boehner said Sunday that the U.S. does not face an immediate debt crisis, putting him in agreement with both President Obama and House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan. But all three are at odds with former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, who said nearly 2 years ago that the country was being threatened by an imminent debt crisis. At the time that Greenspan made his comments, the national debt was a little over $15.5 trillion. Both Boehner and Ryan argued yesterday that debt brought on by expanding entitlement costs is going to be a bigger problem in the long run rather than the short term. Meanwhile, the White House attacked Ryan's latest budget plan today, saying it won't help the Republican Party attract new voters in the next election.
The best way to increase support with the public for your party is to embrace policies the public supports.
White House spokesman Jay Carney made that comment in response to a new RNC report which outlines the party's political strategy for 2014 and beyond. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello there. Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here, just after 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time, 6 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time, except certain counties in Indiana or something. I really don't know. Anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number. And why don't we go ahead, and we've got some callers already. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Duke, it's Tom. How are you?
Hey, Tom. How are you, my friend? What's going
on?
Did
you get my Boris Karloff's recipe for guacamole?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. I'm not really sure I'm going to be trying that anytime soon because I already have a very, very good guacamole recipe. So that one is not going to be however, I do thank you for sending it along via Facebook. Who knew that Boris Karloff liked Mexican food?
I'm still trying to see you on the internet. It's kind of working and kind of isn't. It plays for 2 seconds and then it stops. But I'll keep
so
trying.
So what else is happening, Tom?
How much? It's sure cold here for the latest day of winter, I tell you.
Yeah, I think, winter, no, I think it ends on Wednesday, doesn't it? Isn't the 21st the vernal equinox?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's going to start getting warm much sooner, no question about it. I think by April 1. We're going to be always in the 50s and 60s.
I hope so. Well, good luck with this, Duke. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks for calling in, pal. Always a pleasure. All right. We've got another person. Let us go. And you are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing? You're live on the air, sir. Who's this?
This is Mr. Colorado.
Okay, Mr. Colorado, what's happening?
Well, I was just calling, you know, I was checking out the C-SPAN convention y'all having with all the conservatives, and I'm independent, but the stuff that's coming on from that conservative convincing you guys having at the C-SPAN, I think it's shameful and disrespectful, and majority of the people that's going on, that's a bunch of losers because they haven't won nothing, and for them to I mean, it's just something about that party just got out of control. They don't have no more love for no one, not even for other conservatives. The ones who decide they want to speak to this president, they want to kick them out the party. To me, I think that's ignorant. Everybody should have their own mind, and they should be able to have their own view. If someone want to shake somebody's hand who's different, and then for this party to be acting and putting group of people down, and I mean, that's going to be the America way. That's what's going to make America the great country that it used to be. To me, it's a barbarism in America around the world for people to hear how they against the Spanish, gays, blacks. I mean, who get this group of people and say, God chose you to be the mouthpiece of this world? So right now, it's embarrassing. And when I heard the lady was running for vice president, calling Obama, we need to do a background check on him. It's sad for 45% of conservatives thinking this man a Muslim, and it's just a sad day in this country. I mean, get over, he's there. Yes, he's black. He's a good black person. He became the president by being in America because that's the only place that makes something like that happen. And for me being an African-American, I thought the American dream was for everybody. But this new conservative party with these top guns and all that is just a disgrace to y'all part. Because I know some Republicans, but they wouldn't even be welcome to y'all party no more because they'll shake my hand. And this new
well,
party.
Well, sir, let me ask you something, Mr. Colorado. I was at CPAC, and I heard Sarah Palin's speech. I wasn't more than 10 or 15 feet away from her when she was giving that speech. And I didn't hear any hate there, and I didn't see any hate there. And most of the people there were in their 20s.
But why she had to say, what about Obama background? Why we had to check him out? We didn't check Bush out.
Well,
we didn't check Reagan background.
The,
what is this
here,
every time
here,
something goes on,
sir,
you guys got
sir,
to bring his race
sir,
in there?
Sir, can I answer your
yes.
question? You asked about checking the president's background. It is normal for the American press to thoroughly investigate the life, the accomplishments, the record, the statements, the writings of anyone who becomes a nominee for president of the United States.
Well, that was
in
8 years ago.
They normally begin doing that way before the person becomes the nominee.
So what you say, they didn't do Obama
everybody.
Like that?
And my point is that the liberal media in this country did not conduct any kind of a vetting.
Oh,
of the
man, please. Are you a Christian? Because you're going to burn in hell with that lie.
Sir, may I finish? The way they conducted a thorough background investigation of George W. Bush, John McCain, George H.W. Bush, Bob Dole, Richard Nixon, I mean, Gerald Ford, everybody. They conduct a thorough background investigation on Mitt Romney. They stuck a microscope down Dan Quayle's throat. This is the way the press does things in this country. But they did not do that with then-Senator
Y'all
Obama.
Y'all do it every day they to Obama, man. That man been in not this is second term. So what did you tell me they didn't do a background check on this guy? They did it before he became the president. Don't push that back.
They did not, sir.
Yes, they did, sir. Yes, they did, sir. Okay?
Well, what did they find out? Tell me what they found out.
What is they looking for? He's an American.
They're looking for absolutely everything. And supposed birth certificate.
Where
that
he got to pull his birth certificate? Is
White
you showing
House
yours everywhere you go?
2011.
Are you showing your birth certificate everywhere you go? He has shown two birth certificates.
That I'm an American citizen, that
he
is
showed,
what I
He showed his twice. Okay, but that ain't enough for ignorant people, okay? The new niggas in America. That ain't enough for y'all. stupid people.
Sir, we do not use that word on
Well, I'm going to use it
because
you white men don't deserve, don't want to give this man his property because he's a black man and he's in the white
that
house.
Has
this is
to
a,
do with it,
that's
sir.
What, that's driving
sir.
Y'all crazy.
Sir,
it's
sir,
driving y'all up
I,
the wall, sir.
Sir. Sir, I actively campaigned for Herman Cain for president of the United States.
Herman Cain don't think he's a brother. Herman Cain think he's stuck on stupid like you. For you to even come up with all that.
Sir,
you teapot people going to burn
sir,
in
Mr.,
hell.
Mr.
God
Herman
gonna
Cain.
Punish y'all, okay?
Sir, Mr. Herman
Keep
Cain.
Keep having them views.
Mr. Herman Cain received a degree in mathematics from Emory University. He
okay.
received a master's in computer science from Purdue.
Well, what is Mr. Herman Cain doing for his own community?
Degree.
Everything Herman Cain doing, it ain't representing black people. It's
patriot.
For you. Everything he
sir,
doing, he ain't representing black people, okay? He represents
sir,
you.
I personally met Colonel Allen West on Saturday morning
oh
and
God.
Spoke with him
Allen
for 10
West.
Minutes. And I've got news for you, sir. You are no more or no less African-American than Herman Cain or
no,
than
they ain't true American because they out there lying, talking stuff with white conservative men. You know who messed this country up? White Republican conservative men, okay? White conservative Republican men, that's who messed America up, okay? White conservative men, okay? Without y'all, there'd be a great country. Without this madness that y'all preaching out here, making grandmama shit all on herself, because you guys out here lying
sir,
and making up all these
stories. We do not use that kind of language, sir. I'm sorry. We do not use those words on conservativenationradio.org. Now, I'm going to bring you back on the air, but you may not use words like that. You can't say things like that on our air. It's that simple, sir. Sir, your presumption that for some reason I don't know what it is you think that the so-called white conservatives want to do. What do you think it is? What do you,
every
what do you
time
think
y'all try to do something towards
to
the president, it make his polls go up higher, and the American people voted against everything y'all was talking about. So it got to be something what y'all ain't doing is right, because you know what? Y'all forgot how to cross the table and talk to each other. It's one way, my way, or the highway. Y'all ain't got that view of America
like
no more.
Pelosi.
Y'all got one view. That's what white Americans want, and that ain't what this world about no more. God gonna punish you if you don't change your mind.
I'm not really sure what sins it is that we're committing, sir.
Oh, the sins
I don't think Abraham Lincoln committed any
human
sins
life.
To you, and he was a white Republican male.
Who?
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh man, I ain't even going. I'm talking about what's happening today. All this ignorance, all this what's going on with. I mean, you know, if you listen to that party, that C-SPAN party, it ain't nothing good coming out of but a Cumnor Act for Saturday Night Live, for they can sit up there and make fun of you guys because y'all ain't nothing but a joke. It's a joke. You guys a joke. Y'all a disgrace to this country. You always talking about y'all the only one know the rights of this country and the American people is voting against that. You guys lost twice, big. Both, matter of fact,
sir,
you lost three times.
Sir, 30 of the 50 governors in this country are Republican.
And they all want to, all of a sudden, they want to mess with African American people voting.
They don't want to do anything of the type, sir. They want to make sure that people who are not United States citizens do not vote. If you are a United States citizen,
but
then
why they didn't do that
on
the George Bush? Why they didn't do that on the Reagan? Everybody who been voting for them, they used the same IDs that they used for Obama. But all of a sudden, then they just did a poll. None of that true. Nobody in came in and voted for dead people and all this stuff. What Fox News putting out? When do you guys think for yourself? Why you don't have your own brain, sir? Because what you out here preaching today, sir, everything that's coming out your mouth is that. It's sad, I'm telling you. And if you're a Christian, you need to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Because if you don't change, brother, you're going to burn in hell.
Well, sir, I want to thank you for calling in. I
you're
do have
burn
to run,
in
but
hell.
I hope that you will call in next week at this same time. That gentleman identified himself as Mr. Colorado, and I thought that that was extremely entertaining, amusing. At the very least. I suspect that he may one day be a United States senator or a congressman or something. You know, the leftists in the media, we're going to be talking about these guys in a short while, so stay right where you are. The leftist media would love it if conservatives like us thought that we were just a couple of lonely voices out there in the wilderness, as Jan Hobold once described himself. But I don't want you to be fooled by that. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even those taken by liberals. Now, if you, like me, respect traditional American values, I want to tell you about something that we here at CNR.org call TradAm. It is TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars, find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, seek out what is happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That is www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. It is a liberal-free website. Thank goodness for small favors, and I do hope to see you there very soon. 16 minutes after the top of the hour now. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.com. I am your resident Joe McCarthy and John Birch fan club member. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very much for being around. And we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit about CPAC, so don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037. So he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America, about 19 minutes after the hour. This is Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org. That was a little bit of the Celtic Soul Brother by Dexy's Midnight Runners. In honor of the fact that yesterday was St. Patty's Day, sure now, tough of the morning to you. saints preserve us, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, faith and Bogota and all that kind of stuff. You know, I had a discussion with somebody, and I've kind of come to the conclusion, it doesn't matter whether you're Irish or not, if you don't wear green on St. Patrick's Day, you're being un-American. Okay, I'm sorry, that is simply the way that I look at it. Mr. Kevin Whiteman, the Tar Heel himself, former United States Marine, welcome aboard, my brother.
Hey, buddy, I do got to throw something at you in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Please do.
Do you know why the sun never set on the British Empire?
Because it stretched all the way around the world.
Oh, untrue, my friend. It's because even God wouldn't trust an Englishman in the dark.
Ah!
Oh, that's pretty bad, isn't it? I've got to say that in honor of my old Swainy ancestors.
You know, I for a long time thought that I was Irish because my grandmother's name was Sadie McCauley. But I found out from our kind of family genealogist, my cousin Michael, that actually we're Scottish. We're Scots in English. However, as I said a moment ago, I think any American that doesn't wear green on St. Patrick's Day shouldn't be calling himself an American. I mean, it's just something you do. You know, you wear, if you're in America or you're in Ireland, you wear green on St. Paddy's Day.
Well,
it's that simple.
And we're all kilts under the skin anyways.
There you go. We're all kindred.
That's right.
Something. I don't know. Now, what is up with those crazy Mohammedans?
Buddy, have I got a whopper for you today.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
As if the American Revolution wasn't good enough to prove to the world just how ridiculous an aristocracy is, it turns out over in England that the life peer and member of the British House of Lords, the noble Lord Baron Nazir Ahmed of Rotherham. And believe me, there really is a Baron Lord Ahmed Nazir of Rotherham.
Not Ahmed.
Oh, yes, sir. There's three, as a matter of fact. And I believe they're all Pakistani-born. But nonetheless, old Ahmed, he got himself popped for dangerous driving on the, I think they call it the M1 there in England.
Yeah, motorway 1.
Oh, well, yeah. So the Lord Baron was texting while driving up to 60 miles an hour, hit this poor guy whose name was Martin Gombar. He was a Slovakian who had just immigrated to Great Britain, killed Martin Gombar. So keep in mind, while the Lord Baron was doing 60 miles an hour, he was texting, okay? The Lord Baron got 3 months in jail for dangerous driving, not for the killing of the Slovakian immigrant. But nonetheless, and oh, by the way, he only served 16 days, and he got bounced from jail. Nonetheless, Duke, it is a Jewish conspiracy. That's why he got found guilty.
Pretty unbelievable.
But as they say on the infomercials, but wait, there's more.
There's more.
Oh, yes, sir. This is the same guy just a few short years ago that when he found out the United States put a $10 million bounty on some nasty individual over there living in the Hindu Kush or whatever, there in one of those stands in South Central Asia. The good Lord Baron, who at the time was a member of the House of Lords, said if the Americans can put a $10 million bounty, I guess it's his third cousin, but if the Americans can put a bounty on him, I will put a bounty of 10 million pounds on the heads of both Barack Obama and George W. Bush. And
so
he got a minor slap on the
wrist.
He had
an actual fatwa going.
Yeah, that's right. He called for a bounty on a former and a current American president. As much as I despise Barack Obama, you don't put a bounty on our president.
No, you don't.
Nonetheless, the member of the House of Lords got a minor slap on the wrist. And to that, all I got to say is thank God for the War of Independence.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
Shoot.
4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire. And though the holes were rather small, they had to count them all.
Somebody Nobody had to count them all.
The House of Lords. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
He blew his mind out in a car, you know.
Well, he blew the life out of that one poor father, too.
Yes, he did. That's exactly what he did. And, you know, but, Kevin, British law is weird. I recently got an email detailing a guy that had been at home in his own house. I think he had a shotgun or a small pistol. Somebody with a gun broke in. The homeowner shot and killed the guy that broke in. The homeowner got sent to prison for decades for murder.
Yep.
Very
strange. You know what? Like I said, thank God for the War of American Independence, and hopefully at least some of those people over in Europe, you know, who knows? Maybe somebody finally showed up with a spine transplant. And
that'll be the day.
Yeah, well, you know, all we can do is hope. With any luck at all, maybe Pope Francis will bring another religious revival to Europe, and the Europeans will disregard secularism. And, hey, you never know. We might have another Pope Urban II. Hey, when's the next crusade start? That's what I want to know.
Or Julius II.
Him, too.
Yeah, you better believe it. Yep, Pius X, they're all those. Most of those guys are my heroes.
Heck yeah.
Especially John Paul II. Especially Pope John Paul II. That guy was an amazing, he was just amazing. And I wonder if we'll ever see another one like him. I hope we do.
Well, at least he was instrumental in thwarting the Soviet Union.
Yes,
but,
he was.
But I tell you what, you know, that's one thing I was really thrilled with Pope Benedict. That maybe we can see another revival and people will actually be proud to call themselves Christian and European again. Hey, you never know.
I sure hope so.
Hey, weird things have happened.
Thank you for calling in, my friend.
Okay, bud, you take care of yourself.
We'll get next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you then. See you.
Thanks, pal. Bye-bye. All right, conservativenationradio.org, about 27 minutes after 7 o'clock. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. Welcome to Monday night, everybody. The number is 718-305-7176. We just had a caller a short while ago who apparently from Colorado, at least he calls himself Mr. Colorado, very upset with conservatives and Republicans, said that we were all going to burn in hell. I got to be honest with you, I just don't see that. I really don't. 718-305-7176 is the number. As I mentioned to that recalcitrant caller, I was at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference in D.C. on Saturday. In the next hour, Mike Hintz will be joining me. Mike was at CPAC as well. We've already heard from one of the Kevins tonight. We will, in about an hour and 10 minutes, hear from Kevin number two, the Fighting Blue Hen, Kevin Wade with Common Sense. And at that time, if I forget, remind me. Call me up and remind me, 718-305-7176. I also want to fill you in a little bit on Common Sense with Kevin Wade. As I've mentioned before, Kevin and I are trying to nationally syndicate that feature. And I think we may be very close to, well, you know, I'll fill you in when the time is right. All right? I'll let you know. In any event, 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is my name. In about 1 minute, we're going to be taking a bottom-of-the-hour break. More of your calls are coming up. It was an eventful week. I mean, there's no question about it. We have a new pope. And right now, he certainly looks papal, no question about that. However, Pope Francis, some of us are a little worried about the so-called liberation theology aspect of his own personal philosophy in life. And I'm optimistic that, as Kevin just mentioned, he may be able to foment a revival of Christianity, which would be a very, very sorely needed thing. It is the bottom of the hour. Going to take a break now. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. It is 31 and a half minutes after the hour, Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Thanks very much for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I invite you to call in. I would be delighted to discuss virtually everything under the sun with you. You name it, I'll be happy to talk about it. That is pretty much the deal. Now then, since we last spoke, as I mentioned a few moments ago, there have been some propitious developments in the world. There's no question about it. The one that I think is would be humorous if it were not so absurd is the fact that that little dork in North Korea is threatening the United States with a nuclear attack. Now, that's not necessarily the thing that I think is interesting about this recent kind of development. When Senator B. Hussein Osama, Barack Hussein Obama, was running for president back in 2008, one of the things that he said he would do is to slow the development of American strategic weapons, cut back on deployment of the missile shield. He was going to do all that stuff. Now they are going to add 14 more anti-ballistic missiles. You know, it's the anti-missile missile. They're going to add 14 more of those in Alaska. And I remember very clearly, maybe you do as well, in the late 1980s, 89, 90, sometime around there, when Ronald Reagan began talking about the SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, which the liberal press immediately began to call Star Wars. Wonder why. And their entire outlook was that America must not do this, America should not do this, America cannot do this. And the fact of the matter is, we now have systems that work. The way I look at it, even if just a small number of the incoming missiles, if there are any, God forbid, get knocked down, it's going to save American lives. And the number one obligation and duty of our government, in fact, of all governments in the world, is to protect the lives and safety and property of their citizens from attack from without. That's number one. That comes in front of everything else. This is why when government says, oh, we're going to make cuts, but we're going to make them across the board, we're going to hit the Pentagon equally along with the National Endowment for the Humanities, this troubles me. And frankly, if you're a conservative, it probably ought to trouble you as well. 718-305-7176 is the number here. So in any event, they could have deployed the 14 additional interceptor missiles about 4 years ago, but Obama, in his infinite leftist wisdom, decided not to do that. Now we got a short little funny crazy man. You know, it always reminds me of that great scene in Dr. Strangelove by Stanley Kubrick when Peter Sellers is on the phone in what they call the war room with George C. Scott, and he says, he's on the phone to the Soviet premier. He says, well, Dmitry, one of our base commanders, he went a little funny in the head, you know, just a little bit funny. And he did a foolish thing, Dmitry. I mean, that's basically what this reminds me of. That guy in North Korea, Dennis Rodman's buddy. I mean, can you imagine Dennis Rodman? What a nut! What is with that guy? Look, I don't know the first thing about the NBA. Frankly, I have never cared for basketball. The only time I think I ever cheered for Andy Rooney is when he signed off from 60 Minutes one night by saying, I hate basketball. Well, to be honest with you, so do I. It's just a sport I really couldn't care less about. Look, my favorite sport is polo. I mean, with horses, you know, with ponies. That's my favorite sport. I played it a little bit after college when I was in grad school, and thereafter I played a lot of sandlot polo at a guy named Fred Palmer, who lived in Casanova, New York. And Fred was a wonderful guy. And there are parts of upstate New York where, it's mostly hills, and there were huge glaciers that were cutting through there 15,000 years ago, and they have left. That's how the Finger Lakes were formed, and some of the mountains and the strange striations in the ground up there. However, Fred had, I guess, what one might call some bottom land in Casanova, which is kind of east-southeast of Syracuse. Syracuse is in central New York State. And he had a big stretch of virtually absolutely flat land, which is perfect for a polo grounds. And I would occasionally land the helicopter there and do some stick and balling it. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. The greatest sport. It's wonderful. However, I digress. Basketball is very much below the bottom of my list. I talked to my friend Brad Bierman earlier today. Now, show programming note, on Monday, April 1st, Brad Bierman will be joining me. Monday, April 1st is opening day in the major leagues. The Orioles do not play that day. They play the next day at Tampa. And Brad and I are going to be talking a little bit about what the National League and American League seasons look like. Brad is a San Diego Padres fan. My favorite teams are the Orioles and whoever is playing the Yankees. I've got to be honest with you, I do not care for the New York Yankees. It's a team that I really feel that they are almost the enemy of mankind, and that the entire human race would be better off if they were decommissioned and all of their players went back to Central America. I don't like them. I don't care for them. And I'm from Manhattan. You know, I was born and raised in New York. I'll be honest with you. I grew up at 11 East 87th Street, and I lived there until I was almost 12. Before that, we were in Forest Hills. But I can tell you, I do not like the Yankees. I never have, and I never will. I'm not going to. So, you know, don't worry about it. I mean, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. I just don't like those guys. But anyway, Brad, he and I will be discussing a little bit about the upcoming Major League season. And I'm looking forward to that, and I hope that you are as well. That will be on Monday, April 1st, right here at conservativenationradio.org. 718-305-7176 is the number. Brad mentioned he was not particularly a hockey fan. You know, that he follows it, but not as closely as he does the major leagues, the NFL, and college. He was a former sports director at my old station in Syracuse, WSYR. That's how I know a few things about New York State, having gone to college there and worked in the city after school for a total of 11 years. No, I wasn't in college for 11 years. I was in college, actually, for 4.5 and then a year doing some graduate courses. But I lost that half a semester on Valentine's Day of 1976, February 14th, 1976, at around 10:15 in the morning. I was test jumping a parachute that I had gotten as a present from my mom the previous Christmas. It was called a parafoil. Now, most parachutes that you see today are kind of oblong. This was one of the very early oblong, square-type parachutes. And I flared to land early, and I broke both my wrists when I landed on that hard ground of the Seneca Falls Airport in western central New York. It's just about halfway between Syracuse and Rochester, for those of you who are Erie Canal fans. Anyway, that was something that happened to me jumping. But upstate New York, it has a lot of very interesting geography. And it was caused by the glaciers from 12,000 years ago or something. But Fred Palmer had this huge piece of flat, absolutely flat land, perfect for a polo grounds. And we called it sandlot polo. You know, that and jumping out of airplanes, those were my favorite sports. Don't really know if I have any other ones. You know, I mean, I like watching baseball. I will certainly, we'll have some ongoing commentary about the baseball season as we go through Monday night first baseman. You know, I guess. Hey, listen, we got a new Pope last week, and most certainly on Wednesday, you heard some of Chris Ricketts' comments on the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. It rolls out every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. You know, Chris, he is not afraid to wave the banner of Christianity today, and Chris is a former Marine, so you know he's probably not afraid of anything. So make sure you join Chris on Wednesday night to talk about, things like Christianity, the Bible, current events. He might also explain his plan to teach the Swiss Guards a thing or two. He was supposed to have Pope Francis on the air, but I guess the Pope had other things to do. That is the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. It is about 44 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. The number is 718-305-7176. I'm very glad that you could make it this evening. I'd love to hear from you, so give me a shout by all means. We're going to be taking a break in a short while. And then next hour, we're going to be hearing from Mike Hintz who was at CPAC on Saturday, and I was absolutely delighted to be able to meet in person. And he and I will be discussing CPAC a little bit. If you want to know what CPAC was all about, I think you should give me a call, 718-305-7176. It was really tremendous. And there were 15,000 people there. Most of the time, I think I was the oldest guy there because everybody else was in their 20s. I mean, it truly was a bunch of very, very young people. And I was very, very excited by that for the simple reason that I, you know, the conservative movement, unless there are young people that pick up the banner and run with it, the conservative movement isn't going to last, guys. It just isn't. Unless there is a future generation that is going to adapt conservative thinking and is going to adopt conservative theory, it's not going to last. And obviously it can't. So I was delighted that there were so many young people there. I was, you know, I kind of hate to say this, but the fact of the matter is I was very, very happy to see as many black people there as there were, and there were quite a few Jewish people there. The observant Jewish people obviously did not consider that to be work. Otherwise, they would not have been there. I grew up in New York City. 9 times out of 10, I can kind of spot somebody who is Jewish. There is certainly a look about them, as there is about Gentiles, and there is about Filipinos, etc. It's not profiling. It's not racism. Come on, man. Leave that politically correct stuff way outside the door, which is where it belongs, because it sure doesn't belong in our normal national discourse. I can tell you that. We are going to be taking a break here in a moment or two, but you know, I wanted to mention to you and ask you if you are a conservative. I mean, if you're a conservative, well, listen, not everybody that listens is conservative. Mr. Colorado is not conservative. But I am presuming that if you are listening right now, then you are a conservative, which means that you love America and you love our Constitution, just like all of us here at CNR.org do. Now, since that is the case, I know that you're going to want basically a supply depot, you know, like a warehouse, to get everything that you need, from books and bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts, flags. Your pipeline to all that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Let me tell you what to do. You just go to the website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. That is absolutely what we are. It is about 12 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to take a brief break. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
We never end. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org. Boy, we got options tonight. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back, conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here on Radio Free America, where the number, as always, is 718-305-7176. Thanks very much for being along this evening. Chat room looks full. I occasionally kind of duck my head in there during stop sets or commercial breaks. And there's quite a few people in there, some lively discussions. Incidentally, you know, I have a tendency to focus a lot on international news, the new pontiff, North Korea, you know, things like that, the price of tea in China, etc. But here is something domestically I thought I would mention. There was, and apparently the verdict came in today concerning a couple of high school football players in a place called Steubenville, Ohio. I've never been to Ohio. I'm ashamed to say. Ohio is kind of one of those places that if you have not been there, I'm not really sure you can really say that you have been to America. So one day I will certainly go to Ohio. I'm not going to New Rome, Ohio. I don't know if I'm going to go to Steubenville. But in any event, the gist of it is that these two football players, high school football players, apparently raped a young girl. And then they started bragging about it on Facebook and Twitter and that kind of stuff. So they have been, they're juveniles as well, I think, and they have been given a year to 2 years. One of them got 2 years, one got one, in some kind of a juvenile correction facility or something like that. Now, here is where the controversy is. And this is coming from Huffington Post, by the way, where I blog quite a bit. Thousands of people have signed a petition calling on CNN to apologize for its controversial coverage of the Steubenville rape trial. Basically, here is the petition, which is written by someone named Gabriel Garcia. Quote, that CNN decided to paint the tears of the convicted Steubenville rapists in a sympathetic light and say how their lives were ruined, while completely ignoring the fact that the rape victim's life is the one whose life was ruined by these rapists' actions, is disgusting and helps perpetuate a shameful culture in which young people never understand the concept of consent and in which rape victims are blamed and ostracized. Changing that culture must be done brick by brick, and it can start by heaping public shame on this major cable news network and forcing them to admit that they are wrong. Publicly, unquote. Listen, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. maybe you are. I don't know if you are or not, but in any event, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. The point of this is obviously that someone who saw this apparently has just had enough with the liberal media in this country focusing their sympathy and the benefit of the doubt on the accused, and in this case, on the convicted rapists who admitted what they did, even before they were arrested. And the idea that for some reason they are the ones who are deserving of sympathy, they are the ones who are deserving of society's benefits, and what a shame their lives were ruined. How about the rape victim? I think her life was almost certainly ruined. Maybe many years from now she will mature, but for this to have happened to someone, a young girl, I think she was 15 or 16 or something, it is just absolutely absurd that anyone would be focusing their sympathy and focusing their pity and their concern on the crooks. I just don't get that. I can't be the only one either. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. And CNN, you know, that liberal mentality, that is endemic in institutions and educational, in the academy, as they say, and also in the news media. And I know that, okay, all right, I'm going to tell you how I know it. You want to know how I know? Here's how I know. I was very, very fortunate when I was young, and I don't make any bones about this. My parents made sacrifices to send me to excellent schools. You would never know it to talk to me. However, I am honored to be able to call myself an OPC. I went to the William Penn Charter School in Philadelphia to prep, and at college I went to the Newhouse School at Syracuse University, the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communication. As I said a moment ago, you would never know it to talk to me. However, the S.I. Newhouse School is one of the most prestigious in the country. It is very hard to get in. Once you are in, it is not easy to stay there. And the liberal indoctrination of reporters, writers, editors, people that work in that field begins immediately. Not that most of them were not liberal to begin with, coming out of high school and going right into college. A lot of people are liberal. Almost my graduating class at Penn Charter, we had 78. It was all-boys school back then. Now it's co-ed. But Penn Charter back then, I think my graduating class had 78 students in it, all-boys school. And it was a tremendous and a fabulous experience. But of the 78 people in my class, I think that there were three conservatives, me and Joe Lochran, and I think Bill Millar might have been, Bill and Tom Healy, I think, were pretty conservative. Tom Healy went to college, and he went on to be a captain in the major crimes unit of the Philadelphia Police Department. Okay, that's leadership. That is leadership. I mean, there's no question about it. But everybody else in my class was either apolitical or liberal, and the vast majority were liberal. And as soon as I got up to Syracuse, a couple of months after graduating from Penn Charter, the liberal indoctrination in class began right away. It began right away. I remember specifically Dr. Stan Alton, who was not only my advisor, but I had the honor and the privilege of being taught by him in at least two, maybe three courses at Newhouse. Dr. Alton knew everything that there was to know about audio production, making commercials, doing those things and doing those things the right way. He knew everything about it. In fact, he wrote a book called The Audio Production Handbook. He was writing it while I was there. He got his PhD based on that. And I believe that that book was the standard textbook used in a lot of colleges all over the country that teach audio production. In fact, I know that for a fact. But Dr. Altner on one occasion showed us a series of TV news clips. We're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to fill you in on the bias that was endemic in these when I get back, and also more of your calls. This is Radio Free America. Stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car? And the time some outdirection got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am having some technical difficulties here. I'm not able to get a particular element to go on the air, and I'm not really sure why that is.
Aren't you glad the so-called?
Let's see if I can actually get this to work.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very much for being along with me tonight. The number here is 718-305-7176. I am always interested in what you have to say, what your questions might be. I have not looked in the chat room. Well, looks like there's quite a few people in there, and I'm very glad to see that. Hey, all y'all are more than welcome to call 718-305-7176. In any event, before the break, or the train wreck at the top of the hour, I had mentioned that when I was learning about television and radio in college, one of my professors played a series of TV news pieces. They're usually about a minute and 45 seconds long. And it was based on the idea that there had been a riot or some trouble at a prison, and the same reporter did three different takes on the story. And Dr. Alton was showing us this, and he wanted to know which one he was going to explain to us which was the correct perspective to have on the story. And sure enough, the correct perspective was the rights of the prisoners. That was their perspective, the rights of the prisoners. That's what they wanted to, that's what, you know, and I've got to be honest with you. I believe that prison is a place where people do have rights, but I don't believe that they have or should have more rights than their victims. That is the reason they're there in the first place. And this is just a very small example of how the leftist media and the leftist academic establishment and institutions in this country have found a way to perpetuate their own liberal philosophy on things. And that is exactly and quite obviously, excuse me, I'm sorry about that, folks. I apologize for that. We don't really have a cough button here. But I mentioned that Mike Hintz would be joining me. Mike is here with us now. Mike, it was great to meet you Saturday at CPAC. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Duke, and it was a pleasure for me to meet you as well. And I thank Kevin Wade for having introduced us.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what do you think of that CPAC conference? What was the highlight in your view?
The highlight was definitely Saturday. I thought that Thursday and Friday seemed like warmed over oatmeal, and there was very little enthusiasm or energy, but for whatever reason, Saturday was the day, and I would pick that the two most outstanding speakers were Sarah Palin and Ted Cruz, and they really got the energy level up and sent the conservative political people like you and I out with a high energy charge.
Well, I agree, and I thought Sarah Palin's speech was a panic, especially when she came out there with a big gulp.
That was a moment to remember, definitely.
It was, but, the joke that she shared when she said she had gotten a gun rack for the back window of her husband's pickup truck, and he already had the rifle, and she said, that's why he has the gun and I have the rack. I thought that was a panic, and the whole place cracked up. You know, it was beautiful. Now, when we were there together on Saturday, wasn't that a great lunch that Kevin Wade took us to?
It certainly was. And
isn't he? He's like the greatest guy you ever met in your life, isn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's down to earth and as thoughtful a man as you could want.
Absolutely. And in about 30 minutes, we'll be presenting Common Sense with Kevin Wade. In any event, I was so happy and so impressed with the number of young people that were there. Did you notice that as well?
I did. I think the figure was 52% of the people there were between 18 and 25 years old. It's astounding to see how well the conservative message is resonating with the younger people in America today. And we older folks like you and I tend to think of the young folks as disengaged or uninvolved and not particularly caring about the political process, but that simply is not true. They are involved and they do care. I would like to mention one young lady that I met, Jordan Finley from Hillsdale College, and as impressive a young lady as one could want. She's actually doing a quadruple major.
And do you remember what her four majors are?
I do. She is majoring in economics, political science, Spanish, and a science course that I think was biology, but I can't swear to that one. But those are her four majors.
Well, she sounds like a very smart person. I was not the happiest guy in the world when Kevin Igo told us that the majority of people in this country today who are under the age of 18 are Hispanic. And that, you know, I've got to be honest with you, it's not a question. There are a lot of people that would like to characterize conservatives like me as being hateful people. That is not the case. I simply don't want our country to begin to resemble Mexico. That's why I don't want an awful lot of people from Mexico and Central America coming up here, because I don't want our country to look like Mexico or Central America. And if you're going to come to this country, the least you can do is learn to speak our language.
Well, I think that's the crux of the matter is I don't mind where people come from, but they have to, one, learn to speak English and write English and read English so that they can function in an English-centered society, and two, they have to be willing to buy into the whole meaning of America, and that includes our unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the pursuit of happiness doesn't mean we're guaranteeing people that they're going to be happy, but what it does mean is we're guaranteeing people we're going to leave them alone to pursue happiness in whatever way they choose, as long as they aren't harming anybody else in the process.
I agree 100%. I wish the federal government agreed with both of us, but the federal government wants to stick a microscope down everybody's throat, and they want to regulate every single thing that every single American ever does. And since I'm a conservative, I'm opposed to that.
I absolutely agree. People should remember there are 18 enumerated things that the federal government is allowed to do. Some of them are fairly esoteric, but one of them is they're in control of the Army, the Navy, and now the Marines and the Air Force. We didn't have an Air Force when the country was founded.
Right.
But they're in charge of those branches of service that are designed to protect us from outside enemies. They're in charge of the money supply, the coins and the dollar bills and so on. They're in charge of interstate commerce. But they aren't in charge of deciding which church we get to go to. They aren't in charge of deciding whether abortion has to be supported by an individual person through their tax dollars if they have a religious objection to doing so. That is totally outside the scope of the federal government's powers. And what we need in this country is for more people to be aware of what is and what is not within the province of the federal government. And if we stuck to the Constitution's controls around the federal government, we would all be better off.
I absolutely agree with that. Now, Mike, quickly tell us what is going on with the Tea Party in Wisconsin, where you're the top guy of the Wisconsin Tea Party Patriots. What's happening with the organization?
Well, what we're focusing on right now is we have a Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin. Our Supreme Court is justices are elected, and they serve for 10-year terms. And we have a race that pits Ed Falone, who is a law professor at the University of Marquette, against Patricia Rogensack, who is a sitting justice and is the most conservative justice on our Supreme Court here in Wisconsin. She is the only justice in history to have served as both a district judge, an appeals judge, and now on the Supreme Court. The her opponent has never been a judge of any kind and has never practiced law in a criminal court, so has never had an opportunity to become aware of the dynamics of having to try and or opine on a trial related to criminal cases. So I wonder what would cause anybody to want to vote for this guy who has any kind of conservative background or someone who looks for a candidate with a judicial temperament. Ed Filon is being backed by every liberal organization you can think of, from the AFL-CIO to AFSCME to our local teachers' unions here in Wisconsin. And the reason this is so important is this is the last chance the left has to overturn Act 10, which is Governor Walker's budget bill from 2011 that led to all the union uprisings here in Wisconsin and the 14 state senators who took off and hid in Illinois. If they don't elect Ed Filon, then Act 10 will stand and they're done.
What is the makeup of the court now? How many people are on the court and how are they divided ideologically?
It's a 7-member court, and right now we're 4-3 in favor of a conservative justice. If Ed Filon were to be elected to replace Justice Rogensack, then it would become 4-3 in favor of the liberals, and it's entirely likely then that Act 10 would be overturned.
We don't want to see that happen, Mike.
I agree.
All right. Michael, thank you for joining me tonight. Look forward to speaking with you again next Monday.
All right. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great evening up there in America's Dairyland, Wisconsin. Or as John Paul II once said to Charles Corralt, God bless you and your activity. Incidentally, it is 17 minutes after the hour. We're in hour number 2 of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. And you know, we conservatives have always respected pioneers, and my friend Brenda Ward has been with us here at conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. You know, these ladies like Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, Monica Crowley, they've got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It's Tuesdays. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. It is the place to hear from real American women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, you conservative dudes out there, you are welcome, of course, at our very own B&B. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. It is about 18 minutes after the top of the hour. I want to thank you very much for being along this evening. We're going to take a quick break. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're gonna fly. Hi, everyone. This is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours. But one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday, Monday,
Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Good evening to you. Duke Brooks here. It's about 20 minutes now, almost 21 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, I've got to be honest with you, when it comes to numbers and some numbers I can add in my head. I mean, the way I look at it is that there are three kinds of people in this world: those who can count and those who can't. And I'm in that second group of the three, no question about it. I mean, I didn't realize until I was like 35 years old that 1 + 1 does not equal 11. I mean, it looked pretty obvious to me. Anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. 21 minutes now after the hour, and it is time to keep up on our Civil War history. Yes, indeed. We are in the 150th anniversary, the sesquicentennial, as they say, of the American Civil War, March 18th, 1863, 150 years ago today. It was a Wednesday, and this is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. March 18th, Wednesday, 1863. Mr. Lincoln wrote Congressman Henry Winter Davis in regard to the House of Representatives, quote, "Let the friends of the government first save the government and then administer it to their own liking," unquote. In Paris, the House of Erlanger opened a loan of £3 million to the Confederacy based on 7% bonds for 20 years. Lieutenant General Theophilus H. Holmes assume command of the Confederate District of Arkansas. I guess the House of Erlanger didn't get their money back from the Confederate government, I would guess. And as far as General Theophilus H. Holmes is concerned, I don't know what was going on in the early part of the 19th century, but people had very, very bizarre names back then. Very strange. Leonidas Polk, Theophilus Holmes. What's up with that? If you know why people did that back then, you can give me a call. 718-305-7176 is the number. 23 minutes now after the hour. We're coming down towards the bottom of the second hour here at Radio Free America. This I heard on the news yesterday, and I know it's going to come as a surprise to you. It's going to be a shock. It's going to be just unbelievably surprising that Hillary Clinton has now come out in favor of gay marriage. I'm shocked to hear that. The chances are that you are not shocked. And I think there's a good reason why you would not be shocked. Hillary Clinton is such a liberal. Now, there are many, I mean, where I live, this location is, I think, could best be described as San Francisco without the fog and maybe without the culture, or Key West without the great weather. And there are many, many gay people around here, many gay people, gay men, many lesbian women. And that, you know, I've got several who have become very good friends. But I still am opposed to the idea of changing the definition of marriage. It is simply the wrong thing to do. When you look back through history, you will see that when a society begins turning its back on its central defining institutions, the society itself no longer survives. And this is what the Egyptians did. It's what the Romans did. It's what the Greeks did. It's what the British are doing now. And it's what we're doing now. And, you know, China does not have this problem because China has never, ever permitted dissent in its society, ever, going back 4,500 years to the establishment of the Qin dynasty or whatever it was. They simply do not permit dissent. That's it. And as a result, their society, you know, as Richard Nixon wrote in his book, Four Crises, China is forever. He wrote, empires come and go, nations rise and fall, China is forever. And that's basically, you know, maybe the reason is that they don't permit dissent. I don't know. Actually, I kind of doubt it. They're going to have to start permitting dissent very, very soon. There is no question about that. Because the Chinese are gaining access to the internet. They are gaining access to a lot of Western culture. Do you remember the Tiananmen Square back in 1989, I believe it was? And it, you know, I'll never forget, they had built a statue primarily, I guess, out of paper mache or plaster or something that was called the Goddess of Democracy. And they had that statue there for several days until, you know, finally when the government kicked him out, everybody remembers the image of that lone protester standing in front of a tank. The tank did not run him over, much to the tank driver and tank commander's credit. No question about that. However, they, you know, I do remember seeing video of the statue of the Goddess of Democracy being destroyed, which was a bummer. You know, that was a bummer. China is not America's friend. We'll do business with them, and we do business with them, but they are not our friend. It's that simple. The Oriental societies are friends with themselves. They are, generally speaking, not really friends with anybody outside of the Oriental sphere. And that is because human beings, at least in my experience and what I've observed and read in history and things, and your experience might be different from this. If it is, let me know at 718-305-7176. I will be delighted to speak with you. However, human beings just seem to gravitate and align and ally much more with their own ethnic group. That seems to be first. The ethnic thing seems to be first, followed by either language or religion, and then nationality. That just seems to be the way that things are. Not really sure why it is that way, but that is, in fact, human nature. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that can be done to change that. Every once in a while, I run into a leftist and I say to them that human nature will not permit communism or any other kind of collectivist on a large scale. It won't permit it to exist. And invariably their answer is, well, we just have to change human nature then, don't we? After all, you have to break the eggs if you want to make an omelet. Well, I don't want to make an omelet. Not out of human beings. Sorry, everybody is an individual. Absolutely no question about that. Everybody is an individual, and everyone must be treated as an individual with human dignity. There is no way around that. It is now exactly 30 minutes after the top of the hour. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. And those of us here at conservativenationradio.org are proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, and that, of course, is LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. Now, to protect your identity with LifeLock, this is something you really ought to do. Go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner. I guarantee you, you will be very happy that you did. 8:31, going to take a break. Common Sense with Kevin Wade is on deck. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
On the corner of Old Beggar's Bush, on top of an old hacking bridge.
Radio Free America, radio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being around. That was the Irish Rovers and Whiskey on a Sunday. There are a lot of people that associate the Irish with drinking. I just can't imagine why that would possibly be. 718-305-7176. I wore green yesterday. I'm wearing a green shirt now. As I said earlier, if you do not wear green on St. Patrick's Day, frankly, I think you are being un-American because America and Ireland, our histories are almost inextricably linked. Let's go right to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
This is Larry Duke. How you doing?
Larry, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm in the 239 area codes in South Florida.
Oh, very fine. What's going on down there, pal?
Well, my problem isn't really with down here. My problem is in Ohio. So I have a question. I heard you do the LifeLock commercial. Mm-hmm. And then I heard you say something to... I heard Barbara say something in the chat room about as long as we keep doing what we're doing, we can take America back. So I got an operation. I have an operation online, Duke. It's called Operation Storm Cell, and it pertains to the theft of my identity and by a banker and my family and other people, and involves murder and kidnapping and conspiracy in Northwest Ohio, because I'm a whistleblower who works for the EPA. and my family and friends are being murdered because of my work with the EPA and my work to try to straighten out the trucking industry in Northwest Ohio.
Well, do you want to tell us about this?
Well, it's mostly, I can give you some details, a little bit of what's going on. It involves some of the biggest trucking companies in Northwest Ohio anyway, and they cover a huge portion of our northeastern area there. They work for General Motors and other companies that are involved in paving the public highways, and there's some discrepancies in the workplace that involve theft from government programs such as the Federal Unemployment Compensation Fund, which is your tax dollars.
Right.
You know, your tax dollars go into that. And them trying to tell me in the workplace that they have a loophole that allows this to go on. And I began arguing with them about the loophole. And it's an ongoing thing for 20 years that led to the 2007 murder of my first cousin, Craig Burdine, in Fremont, Ohio, by law enforcement. Corrupt police officers, corruption in the hospital, and it's out of control. And I just decided it's my patriotic duty to start telling people what's going on and stop living in my little shell. So I created Operation Storm Cell as an awareness campaign. There's a viral video. The viral video asks the primary biblical question, am I my brother's keeper?
Well, are you?
Are you, Duke?
You know what? I've got to be honest with you. I don't believe that I am. And I say that for this reason. I think when people begin with the idea that every one of us is responsible for all of us, I think that that has a tendency to lead people down the road of forced collectivization and economic rights. And that is a ruinous, ruinous pathway. Now,
I can see your conservative point there.
Well, that having been said, when I see a person on the street who is down on their luck, occasionally, especially in the larger cities, you will see people that beg. I never fail to give those folks something. I might have a handful of change. I might give them a couple of dollar bills, but I never fail to help those people because they're before the grace of God go I.
But and I'm the same way.
Yeah. You know, when you reach into your pocket to help somebody, that is an act of nobility. It is an ethical act. It is a moral act. It is an act that Jesus Christ wants us to do. When government reaches into my pocket to help somebody else, that is theft. And that's all that it is.
Well, the reason that I ask the question, am I my brother's keeper, is because it gets back to the Cain and Abel story that pertains to murder. And,
right.
And now that I have a family member that's been murdered, I feel that it's my responsibility to make people aware. I've tried to stand down with these people. I have tried over and over, okay? I have a veteran status from the United States Army. I mean, I'm not a perfect person. I don't claim any kind of perfection. I absolutely am a human being who makes the same mistakes everybody else does. But I feel that there does come a point where you have to say enough is enough. When enough lines are drawn in the sand, and that's what's going on in my case, enough lines have been drawn in the sand. I'm tired of them drawing lines for me to cross and then me drawing lines for them to cross. I'm tired of it.
Well, what exactly happened?
I'll tell you what happened. Workplace discrimination happened because of things that were going on with my family wanting to play games with my employers. That's what happened. And workplace discrimination because I have excessive knowledge of crime in the workplace, federal crime in the workplace, that discrimination has now led to murder and numerous attempts on my life that I'm just fed up with.
Well, I mean, was anybody convicted in the murder?
There haven't been any arrests yet. It's under investigation.
How long ago did this happen?
The last murders were in 2007. Or the last murder was in 2012. There were two of them. There was one in 2009 of a 17-year-old kid. You feel familiar with the term make it look like an accident?
Oh, yeah.
Got that going on all around me, pal. All around me. And the state of Ohio's involved. The state of Ohio's involved up to its nose. It's disgusting.
Have you taken this to anything like a, you know, like an investigative reporter or something like that?
I have a few people involved. Some people involved with private investigation federally are involved now. And other people, and like I said, I'm just making it aware. The awareness campaign is to make sure that people who I don't have access to a whole lot of people for some reason. I don't know how quite to get to them. Okay, and I'll tell you, I'm injured. Okay, I have TBI, which is traumatic brain injury. Okay, it's hard for me to find my way around all this needlework of stuff. But I know the feds are involved because I have friends who have been telling me, yeah. FBI came and talked to me, and I was like, I figured they might do that. So I know that my reports are being taken seriously. Okay. Also, when it comes to the theft of my identity, that was resolved. So I know that they looked into that. So I know they're looking into the stuff. But it's just a matter of, you know, when there are people who have more access to the right people than I have, I just go talk to as many people as I can, and with respect for your show, I mean no disrespect to you whatsoever, but listening in on your show today, it sounds like you may have some access to that. So as a fellow American citizen, I'm making you aware that there's some stuff going on in Northwest Ohio that's upside down.
Well, Larry, I want to wish you every bit of luck in getting that thing resolved. I mean, that's a horrible thing to have to live with. But I get the impression that you're doing the right thing. And obviously, you want to meet as many people as you can and be reasonable with them. Do you know your Ohio State representative and senator and your federal congressman
Sure.
and senators personally?
No, I do not know. I had to come to Florida to get away from it. The stress level of, okay, are you familiar with the term blackballed?
Sure.
Okay, I've been blackballed since about 2000 by organized crime in Ohio, okay? And I'm not scared. They're not scaring me, and I'm not going to stand down, but I had to step away. I came to Florida to get away from it for a little while and try to air my head out and get some proper thought processes because the stress of the whole thing is overwhelming.
Well, it
sounds
like
I don't want to wind up like Christopher Dorner.
No, I don't want that to happen to you either. You don't strike me as the kind of person that would lash out like that anyway, but Larry, I've got to roll on. Will you be kind enough to keep us posted on what's happening in your life and in your cases from now on?
I will do that, and if you don't mind, I'll say it again. It's Operation Storm Cell, and Storm Cell is one word, STORMCELL, and I'd ask that you, there's a live show, Duke, and there's a video. Just kind of look into my stuff and help me spread the word. Thanks.
Thank you for calling, Larry. All right, well, there are, you know, that's one of the things that we do here at Internet Talk Radio. It is a wonderful medium, and people can call in and can apprise other people of things that are going on, and this sounds to me like it's fairly important. It sounds like government has run amok. Anyway, I think it's time for some actual common sense here. So let's check in with Kevin Wade. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Many Americans today believe that the defining obligation of government is to provide cash, food, medicine, and housing to its citizens. Of course, as Abraham Lincoln said, it is a mistake to think that government can give something to one person without first taking from another. America has always been a land of plenty, and it will remain so as long as free enterprise defines the work of our economy. Common sense conservatives believe in a safety net for our fellow citizens, but not in a hammock. Government's primary obligation after upholding our Constitution and national defense is to get out of the way of the American people. Some thoughts on the economy after this.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. So we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The former president of the AFL-CIO, Lane Kirkland, once said that it was through work and work alone that a man or woman realizes their own true potential, provides for their families, and secures their own future. When government gets out of the way, the economy will brighten as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Yes, indeed. That is common sense. That is Kevin Wade. And Common Sense with Kevin Wade, every Monday night here at Radio Free America. And hopefully coming soon to a radio station near you. Now, also coming up soon, in fact, on Thursday night, U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee, former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee, and his program, Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch. It's Thursdays at 7 o'clock, 6 p.m. Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. You have probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He is the author of Battle on the Home Front, an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. That alone means that he fits right in right here. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. All right, it is about 13 minutes, 12 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. Break coming up right now. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
I am waiting for your love. Yes, indeedy. Well, all righty then. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is my number. That little piece of music was the Electric Light Orchestra from the album Out of the Blue. That's called Summer and Lightning. I think it is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. I am virtually alone in that assessment. It was never a single. You know, I mean, I've seen ELO in concert a couple of times. I think they are an awesome band. I mean, they are really something. And especially back in the 70s, and last time I saw them, I think, was 81 in Binghamton, New York. That was a great concert. And I remember at the time the concert was going on, I had a wonderful gig at a wonderful radio station that was called WSYR in Syracuse. And the concert was in Binghamton, New York, which is an hour and 20-minute drive or about a 30-minute flight in an airplane. And I had an airplane lined up and leased and rented from the guys at the hangar next door to the one at the airport where I kept Trafficopter 57. And that night, when it was time for us to fly to see ELO, those guys in the hangar next door had not put the seats in the airplane. There was only one seat in the front. I had a girl named Melanie Maynard, another girl that I knew, and another guy who was a buddy. I've forgotten their names. But anyway, finally we did get there, and it was a great concert. Now, speaking of great, Barbara Buffing now joins me. Good evening to you, Barb Stress. How are you tonight?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better now than I was this time last week. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you're feeling better.
That was a bad one. So anyway, Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing will be rolling out tomorrow night. And what do you have on tap for us?
We have Tina Hollenbeck, and she is with the Educational Freedom Coalition. It's a brand new. She just launched the website, and it's a group that's for homeschool parents and others who seek to maintain educational freedom from the Common Core standards that's being implemented across the country. So she's on top of that, and she's going to join us tomorrow and explain more about it. And we're excited because a lot of what I feel is education basically from home. You know, if the parents, because children love what they learn. And when the parents are educated and have self-esteem, they can help build self-esteem in their children and be teachable.
Well, at the very least, they can prevent their children from being indoctrinated by a bunch of Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist, Communist, Socialists who are running the education system in this country today.
Exactly. So that's what we got, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on conservativenationradio.org.
Tomorrow night. Now,
yep.
While I've got you there, what part of the Tar Heel State are you in?
I am about 30 miles south of Raleigh.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're not that far from Fayetteville.
I'm not way too far from Fayetteville now.
Okay. All right. I lived in Fayetteville for a year, and I loved it. I love North Carolina. There is talk about next year about conservativenationradio.org having an official presence at the CPAC conference. And since you and I and Christopher Manti are the ones who live closest to Washington, D.C., maybe we ought to start making our travel plans to show up there this time next year, right now. What do you think?
Well, I think that sounds like a plan. Sounds like a good plan, but show up to a meeting and we could talk more, because there's more information that I have that I would like to go over with everybody before anything gets said.
Okay. Now, I know I missed the last meeting, and I feel like a real heel as a result of it, but, you know, Yeah, I know. It's disgraceful, and I forget what happened to that first one, but that second one, I was just not feeling very well. And
I understand.
Anyway. However, thank you for being with us tonight, and I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night, and please tell Brenda that I said hi.
I will do that.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
All right, Duke. Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. That is the highly talented Barbara M. Buffing, who is Brenda Ward's co-host on Women Patriots right here on conservativenationradio.org. Make sure that you listen to them tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Always a fascinating show. A lot of people love it and listen, and I hope that you will as well. Spoke about flying briefly. You know what the latest thing is? Now there is this guy, now comes one Edmund Whitehead, who there are some people that think that he flew a heavier-than-air airplane, a powered aircraft, in August of 1901, almost 2 years before the, more than 2 years before the Wright brothers did, on December 17th, 1903, at Kitty Hawk. And I've got to be honest with you, I am always very suspicious of people that come out and say, we've got a new take on American history. We have new information that proves that legendary American accomplishments and legendary American heroes are not what you think they are. There's always somebody that has something like that. You know, I reject all of it. Look, the first human beings to photo document and to fly an airplane were the Wright brothers. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's all there is to it. As far as this guy named Edmund Whitehead is concerned, I don't know anything about his ship. I don't know anything about where, apparently this was in New England somewhere. Well, look, all right, as far as the New Englanders are concerned, well, I live with a New Englander. My girlfriend is a New Englander. God bless her. She's not here right now, but I've got her picture right next to my desk. God, that's a pretty girl. You know, she really is. And she's a very nice New Englander, and she's not one of these liberal New Englanders, you know, the kind that just kind of make your skin crawl when you hear the things that they say. Speaking of your skin crawling, I always leave the best for last. The single most important news item that has come across the wire or the internet today is from TMZ. Lindsay Lohan cops a plea deal and avoids jail time. Lindsay Lohan just copped an 11th-hour plea deal and will spend 90 days in lockdown rehab. That's the good news, and she has dodged the jail bullet. After a lot of haggling in chambers with offers and counteroffers, who cares about Lindsay Lohan? I certainly don't. Now the lady from Blog Talk Radio has begun counting down. You know, it always reminds me of that scene in Aliens. You now have 1 minute to reach minimum safe distance. This has been a lot of fun. I certainly hope that you'll be able to join me next Monday night. I hope that we'll be able to hear from Greg Penglis out in Frisco then, but you never know. You know, I don't know if he wears flowers in his hair or not. Maybe not. Anyway, Duke Brooks here. I hope that you had a wonderful Monday night. I certainly did. I hope the rest of your week is great. and I hope to speak with you again next Monday. Have a great night, all.